You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the, you know, best city in the world, the best baseball city in the front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Stanton homered again. Trapped him on air.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Welcome back to another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast. We have episode number 157. My name is Rob. Tyler, as always, is on the other end of the Zoom room. And Tyler, we just finished up a series against the Boston Red Sox. The Yankees did, and they just got swept. A series prior against the Atlanta Braves, swept. A series prior against the Miami Marlins, lost series. Series prior against the Chicago White Sox, a lost series. The reason that we haven't been recording since then, I was out in Miami and Atlanta to go see those ballparks. Unfortunately, saw the Miami Marlins make that comeback on that Sunday afternoon. Kind of knew what I was coming into against that Atlanta Braves team, which just destroyed this Yankees team, as you would sort of expect, knowing what if you've been watching this team, as in if you're listening to this podcast, they just manhandled this Yankees team, and you know how it sort of went. So, but I was very happy to go out and see those ballparks and see it down there and cross those off the ballpark list, and I will continue to do so. But man, Tyler, I got to tell you, like, going
stinks
out to see
for you, Rob.
It
I feel
does,
bad, dude.
I'm going to try and see these parks,
should
and
be in
going
the mix
to see
of the pennant race.
I want to see the Yankees in these areas and go see my team, our team. Go see them on the road. But man, they make it tough. Like that Sunday game against Miami was just really, really bad. And Clay Holmes, and he had been really good. And when he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it, and they just lost it. And I felt as though, and I'll see if you agree with this, that was sort of, and I think I talked to a guy at the bar or something, and he was saying, man, that was the official nail in the coffin for this season. And now seeing how they got swept the rest of Atlanta, swept here, at Yankee Stadium versus the Red Sox versus your rivals. I think it's back-to-back sweeps because the last time that I was at a couple
and
of
we've
games
talked
in Fenway.
Forever, Rob. Even when the Sox are bad, they always play us tough because rivals, right? But
yeah, all the time.
And Yanks can't do that.
And they just – this team is cooked, man. I hate to say it, but this team is cooked. And
Judge said it like it was too.
Only way I could describe it is a depressing time to be a Yankees fan, but I can't say to this extent I can say I'm surprised because I still thought they would be – the offense would be a little better.
At least like four or five games out, you know.
Exactly. I think they'd be more competent, but with the way –
nine games back, Rob.
But with the way this team is operating, I really can't say I'm – so surprised, but I can say I'm surprised. I don't know if that makes sense, but just the way that they've been operating, I feel like it's sort of caught up to them, that it's finally like, nah, you guys need to really get your shit together.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to be a realization in Hal's brain, Cashman's brain, but we're going to get into that because we know that's an issue within itself. But
it's the
just
biggest
this,
issue.
It is the biggest issue, but they haven't won a series. I think they haven't won a series since June.
Yeah, and the last one they won was against Kansas City, which is nuts. I mean, they're closer, Rob. In terms of just how they are as a club, like they're the talent and the product they put on the field is probably closer to that of the Detroit Tigers or the Chicago White Sox. than they are to any of these wild card teams.
100%.
Like, they're 100%. No way. They're not close. They're not even close to Boston. Like, Boston's lineup is good. They're not close to Seattle. I mean, stop it. It's right in front of us.
Oh my God. I know. I know the bigger issue with that is, but it's, they've brainwashed the entire roster when they talk about it. And yeah. I know they have
you
to
hear
be
Garrett's interviews now, too. Garrett's like forced to say it, it looks like. But it's right in front of us.
I know they have to be positive. And I know they have to be gung-ho and they have to believe in their team. But there's some points, and I know it's different coming from a fan perspective. I completely understand that. But there are some times when you say, can you acknowledge the elephant in the room? The elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. And you just say, man, we have to get better. Don't say it's right in front of us, because it's not right in front of you.
Yeah, no.
It's not. Just say, we need to play better baseball. That's all, like, just the extra stuff that they then say. If they just say, we need to play better baseball, and leave it at that, and just say, that's all we got to do. We got to play better baseball. We have to be better. We haven't lived up to the expectations, and we have to be better. Don't tell me it's right in front of you, because that's lying to the entire fan base, to the entire rest of the baseball. And now when they see that in press conferences.
I do think that they're starting to believe it, though. They're lying so much that they've began to believe it.
They've begun to just get brainwashed through this cycle. And you don't have to. I really just, when they say that, it just makes it look that much worse. And when they continually say it, the rest of baseball fans, the rest of the league go, is it really right in front of you?
No,
because
yeah, they're the only ones buying this. No one's buying it anymore.
No one else is buying this bullshit. No one else. I understand you have to be positive about your own team and you work with these guys every day. But
I think it kind of ties into this team, or at least this regime with Boone Cashley, kind of since the end of 2017, so 2018. It's kind of the most hands-off managing I've seen in my Yankee fan career, I guess.
Fandom? Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Fandom?
Because
yeah.
They're not at a point where, like you said, like no one gets held accountable. So
That's the biggest thing to me, man.
Yeah, it almost feels like they're so hands off that's all they can do is just be confident, be confident, be confident. It's like this blind confidence for no apparent reason. And I don't think we're at a point where the Yankees are underperforming. Like I truly don't believe they're underperforming. I think the guys on the team and the whole roster is just, this is what they're capable of. I mean,
yeah.
It's a 200 and whatever game sample size at this point. It's not a product of underperforming, in my opinion. It's just, it's a mess top to bottom.
It's rearing its head in every way. And I think I tweeted it out from the account. If you guys are listening and you're in this pain, go ahead and follow us at our social media channels at 4TrainSavages on Instagram, TikTok, at 4Savages on Twitter. And I tweeted it out from the account. When Judge said, I don't know the exact quote it was, but it was like along the lines of,
we're
it's
not
right
showing
in front
up.
Of us. We just got to take it. And I'm saying, man, that was sort of a flick to the nuts, kind of a punch to the face. I'm like, Judgy's even saying it too. They got him somewhat brainwashed. Uh-huh. And I understand that's just the way the Yankees are operating, but it's just sad to
see.
But
other teams don't do that.
That's what
I'm
saying.
So why do we do
it? I feel like we...
It's not like we found success in doing that.
No, and they operate as though... This has been something that I've talked about on this podcast, and I talk about when I see my friends that are Yankee fans, and they operate as though they were a part of the 2009 Yankees, mm-hmm. or they were a part of the late 90 Yankees, that they were doing that. No, you still have something to prove to baseball, because mm-hmm. now they're seeing the incompetence every day now.
Yeah.
Every day.
I mean, we thought they were free falling in July. Oh, I mean,
August is a,
they are free falling.
Tyler, we're getting the free fall from last year, except we're getting it with a bad month of July and just misplay in June as well. And I feel as though they are operating with that same mentality that they are the big bad Yankees. But this core hasn't proved it. Yes,
you think the players are operating like that, or just the
organization?
Or both?
I hate to say it, but I don't because I love Judge and I love Cole and but I think it somewhat comes from the organization, and I think it kind of trickles down, but they don't operate from that level of hunger that where you're not Derek Jeter, you're not Andy Pettit, you're not those guys. You still have something to prove, and that's one of the biggest issues I have with when they show off the Yankee brand. And they show off what, and I understand that the Yankees have had winning seasons. But what point does it get to when you say they're just going in a circle? And you say, well, the Yankee brand, if this is what you're touting to me on the Yes Network commercials, and you're telling me excellence, and you're telling me this, you're telling me that, and you're touting your championships, but we just see the same cycle over and over again, getting our ass whooped by the Houston Astros, losing in the division series, losing to the Rays, losing to this, and you say, and you don't see any significant changes, and they stay packed. And I think this year for me was the biggest, and I'm going to be explicit here, was the biggest fuck you, was when Cashman just didn't do anything. I just can't help but feel like that was the biggest thing. And do you agree with that? Do you think that was
I mean, that was the punch in the face. We said it on the pod. It was like, the worst thing you can do is nothing. That's exactly what they did.
Like, I've been explaining in these past 2 weeks and since we've recorded that last pod, I've been saying when I talk to people that are Yankee fans, they didn't even buy any guys or try and get better. They didn't even sell off any expiring contracts. They just stood with what they had.
They doubled down, Rob.
They doubled down, and it really was. I hate to say it again. I don't want to be too explicit, but it was a fuck you to the Yankee fans. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. So,
I mean, it's spot on. It's been a fuck you to the Yankees fans and the players, too. I want to throw it, like, because I know it sounds like, I don't want to say you're putting blame on the players, but it's definitely trickled down the front office's message a little bit, but I'm still at the point where it's like, I don't think many of these guys are in a spot where it's like, it's their fault necessarily. Like, IKF's bunting with Stanton on first. Like, why? There's no way. Did he pull the trigger on that? If so, why? But it's just, it's a whole debacle from top to bottom. And like you said, them doing nothing at the trade deadline was the most alarming thing they've done in a very long time.
Yeah.
Because that it just, like, I was jealous of the Mets, I feel like.
Yeah, you just know?
You have a direction, you know? At least we know that there's a couple brain cells, like, going on in the front office up there. Here, it's like, not, we're just going to pencil in Stanton because he's going to be good. Or we're going to pencil in Rizzo because he's Anthony Rizzo and he's been good for, you know, however many years and over 162 game sample size. These guys should win. Now look where we are. You're not just screwed for this year. I mean, because, like, who cares? This year's irrelevant to me.
I don't
care about watching. I'm going to watch, obviously, but this year's irrelevant. But the problem is you're screwed, like, it's not going to be good next year.
This free agency class coming up is not great at all. It's okay. It's not. There's no, like,
you need a third baseman. You need a left fielder. You need a center fielder.
Do you trust Cashman to make a trade that works?
Yeah, but it's also, do I trust Cashman? The answer is no. And then two, front offices just don't make as many moves in offseason as the Yankees need to make. Like, it's not very often we see six different position players. And that's what they need, unfortunately. Like they at minimum need a second at minimum the Yankees need a third baseman, a left fielder, a center fielder, and a catcher. That's four positions.
Oh my goodness!
Like you're not going and like. Oh my god.
That would have to be an astronomical, just stellar offseason to address everything that quick.
It's just it would be crazy because that stuff doesn't happen anymore. I feel like,
and I think
frequently at least
it comes back to a reality with this Yankees team that they have an uphill battle now going on this year. I think that I tweeted this out yesterday of will the Yankees finish under 500. I can see it, but I could also see in them finish a few games above 500, but we know what's going on with
this team. I could seriously see them winning 75 games. Like I've been joking about it on Twitter, but I really like. Can this team win?
They
have 60 wins right now, Rob? Can they win 15 games?
60 and 64.
Yeah,
so
like, if I were a betting man, would I be betting they're going to win 15 games in September?
Yeah, I mean it would not be the most.
I wouldn't
logical bet looking at them now. So you gotta say this free agency class is not stellar.
And the only person that at least off the top of my head that we're like okay that solves a problem is if you go out and actually pay Cody Bellinger because he's had an unreal year. But that's also how you feel about Cody Bellinger. He's coming off of two really bad years.
Yeah,
and then a really really good year this year. So that's almost got Yankee
crap written all over it.
Yeah, Yankee crap written all over it. You sign him, bringing him for 5 years, 120 or something, and he's terrible. So it's like there's not much to do. Like it's the same thing with the trade deadline. There's not much to do but pick a direction.
And they didn't do that, and that's why you can't feel when they come into this – when they didn't pick that direction, this trade deadline, and they just did nothing.
Other you can at least like soft buy, you know. You can go and get like Randall Grichuk if you really want to double down and give up nothing, and then Shed Bader too, like something like that.
But they just said no, we're gonna keep doing this, and that's a big freaking issue.
I mean, I also
go ahead.
Go for it.
No, I don't even know. What
I mean,
to
I'm
say,
just
man.
Thinking about how,
it's so
I'm just
frustrating.
Thinking about how, yeah, I'm thinking about how Pereira's. In the minors, Austin Wells, who hasn't been amazing in AAA, but he's in the minors. And Peraza is just I feel like I see an insane highlight of him at shortstop at least twice a week now. It's like, why am I watching Billy McKinney? Why am I watching Jake Bowers, dude? Nothing against them, but like, what do I care what they do? What do I care if Harrison Bader goes 5 for 5 or 0 for 40? I don't care at all. It means nothing to me in terms
of. It means
of next
nothing
year.
To the future projection of the team. And that's the Yankee. It goes back to the Yankees holding on to try and be right.
Yeah.
It's them trying to say, no, our process is correct. It doesn't matter what the end result is, it's the process.
Yep.
What our process is what we know, and we know more than you. But I think it's gotten to a point where, sure. Yankee fans can be irrational. Yankee fans can be very emotional and all those words. But I really think it's finally happening where the rest of the league is turning at the Yankees and they're going,
I love it so much.
What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing?
Like we're becoming the laughing stock.
It really is. They are doing things. Like it goes back to the Rizzo stuff with his head and the concussion issue. Mm-hmm. Why does this guy have a concussion for 2 months and then you put him on injured list?
It's the same deal with Trevino.
With the wrist issue.
And someone that we don't like as a player in Josh Donaldson, I think they mishandled that too. I mean, he's put on the 60-day and then 10 days later, he's running around taking BP.
It's such a
bad look. And then he gives a pregame interview saying, "Oh, I wasn't part of that discussion to go on the 60-day."
So
yeah, you just kind of the Yankees just went, wipe their hands. Not my problem. We'll just banish him because he stinks instead of admitting that we're wrong.
I think finally that, and I'm sure plenty of fans that aren't Yankee fans are relishing in it and they love it, but it really shows. that it's like, no, this is the way that they go now. They don't care what the fans think. They don't care what the outside perception is. They say, this is our internal process. This is what we're going with. Whatever the results are, the results are. And Brian Cashman said it at that press conference in December. And it's the one thing that irked the absolute shit out of me. And it still does.
What, the results comment?
That's the one.
Buying our process.
We don't care. Like, he basically said, the results are the results. But as long as we go along our process, and doesn't matter if it's sports, doing your job, just your normal job. I'm sorry. The results matter, Brian. I just don't know how that jives. And Jack Curry tweeted this earlier today. I don't know if you saw this, Tyler, but he said Aaron Boone said he met with Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman a couple days ago, and they discussed the direction of the organization, and he admitted they're all frustrated by the Yankees' performance. So what
feels
that
like
tells
you should have done that in July, Rob.
It feels like they should have done it a little earlier, you know? What it tells me is that they are pretty much gearing up for Aaron Boone to be the scapegoat, which I am not a fan of Boone. You are a fan of Boone, but
I just don't dislike. I'm fine with him because I know how little. But
I recognize that it's a bigger issue, and it should be Hal Steinbrenner having that meeting with Brian Cashman directly.
Yeah,
but
he shouldn't have full control over baseball ops. There's no way. Yeah. And I think it's a good thing you point out that obviously Boone is going to be the scapegoat, it seems like. And most Yankee fans that are not just casual fans will tell you that Boone will probably be a scapegoat. But it seems like to me, at least listening to WFAN and just kind of hearing people talk.
That's just a dark hole.
Of course it is. But it seems like even the casual, like, lunatic Yankee fans that don't really know what they're talking about, they actually understand that Boone is a scapegoat, and it's way worse than just Boone not being a great manager.
100%.
So, I don't know what they're going to do. I think...
Clown show.
I don't know, man. I mean, because Hal's got to address the media. You think he addresses the media before the season's over? You think he just waits 5 weeks, 6 weeks? Well, they got
six and a half weeks,
basically.
Yeah. I mean, because he's hesitant to go with confrontation just in general.
I mean, bro, but when he went on the Michael Kay show, in the summer or in July, and he was like, yeah, if we miss the playoffs, I'm going to have to ask some tough questions. That quote unquote, that's what he said. What are those tough questions? One, and then don't even mind missing the playoffs. You're going to finish not even close to the playoff picture.
You are going to finish in last place.
Yeah, and you're going to be 12 games out of the wild card. Like, it's not even going to be a thing. Like, your season's over 2 weeks ago. Your season was over 2 weeks ago. So, I'm interested to see. Those will be comments that I will be interested to see. Anything Brian Cashman has to say, like, it'll be interesting to watch because it'll be nonsense. But I don't care what comes out of his mouth because he's a lying sack of baloney. Hal, at least, I feel like, can give me something, whether it's true or not.
Well, I mean, we have. He's the owner of the team, so we know he's not going anywhere. So it's.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's a terrible place to be in
And then the minor league stuff, I mean, that comes out this week too, a little whistleblower. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. I mean, a guy comes out, do you know his name? The guy that came out?
No, so I sent this to Tyler the other day. I sent it
They were talking all about it on the radio too.
It was on it was like Foul Territory, the Eric Kratz podcast.
Yeah, Eric Kratz's pod.
So it was on that Foul Territory podcast with Todd Frazier and Eric Kratz. I don't remember the exact minor leaguer's name, but we were talking about it before we came on, and he was talking about how just the entire process that the Yankees use in the minor leagues is just...
He basically said they don't even play baseball.
Yeah, they completely just throw strike. I told you that they completely throw strikeouts out the window.
Not a
which,
thing. Yeah.
Which is, listen, if you don't want to be against strikeouts as much as you once were, that's okay, I guess, because I've come to know that I don't need a guy hitting 300. If he's hitting 240, mm-hmm. 260, that's one thing. And he strikes out a little bit more. That's one thing. But he flat out said they don't care if you strike out at all.
Yeah.
At all. And the way that the Yankees are operating in the way that he described it is just so he made it seem like it's so obscure from what the rest of the league is doing.
Did you hear the reports of that? They literally have a counter in the clubhouse in a lot of the minor league systems. That
counter for what?
You get a point if you walk, and you get a point if you hit the ball over 95 miles an hour, whether yeah, it's an out or not. That's yeah, they cared about.
They just care if you hit the ball hard. Yeah, and
now is that like, does Lawson have something to do with that?
I think he did say that Lawson
did he kind of get the reins to the minor league system almost, and then hire underneath him, and then the guys were getting annoyed with that, and that's why they ripped the Band-Aid off midseason, because they're like, holy shit, we can't deal with this anymore.
I do remember in that clip that he did mention Lawson, so maybe that's a big thing, and maybe he had a lot to play with it, and it's fascinating that now he is not a part of the team midseason. And
I mean, they still stink. You know, I don't think anyone thought that their offense would change much. Yeah.
Sean Casey's going to take him to some astronomical level. Even Sean Casey said that he's coming into this and he's saying, "Oh, you know, I got nothing to lose." That's basically what he said.
Welcome to the sinking ship, my friend.
Yeah. So, just when you see those clips and you hear what's happening behind the scenes,
you got to think more will come out, right? Too,
yeah.
Because now that the Yankees are free falling, like players that I don't know have any type of grudge towards the org or anything can easily just be like, "Yeah, they are a weird organization to play for." Because when the Yankees are winning and they're winning 99 games, and you know, even though they got swept in the LCS last year, they're going to the ALCS, they're making playoff appearances. You can't really come out and bash their system and their org.
Yeah,
least, I mean, you can, because we have, and a lot of other Yankee fans have, but it's like, to what merit does that hold when you're still winning? But now when you're free-falling and you double down and you've ran a circus act of an organization for this year, and now you have players coming out, like players, those are your employees, are coming out and like bashing your culture, your organization, how you produce players, like that's a bad look.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So and if this doesn't get Hal's attention, nothing will.
I pretty much, man. And if it doesn't, then that's the boat the fans are in. And I've said this even last year, that when you hear the outcry that the fan base has, and we know New York fans can be very, very different, I guess I could say, and very, very vocal, maybe in the wrong way, that they're saying they're being overreactive.
We definitely freak out fast.
But this has been a 6 or 7 year span where you told us, after being one game away from the World Series, that then I'm not even really putting it that much on Boone, but you make a managerial change and you say, okay, this is the trajectory. We're going to be back in the, not even thinking this is going to be you back in the glory days of the 90s doing all this, but you are on a upward trajectory.
We're just young and good.
Of young players expecting to win, and now it went up, 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 and now it's going down, 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 down,
yeah,
really fast. And they don't seem to care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem to care.
It did,
and the fans are sitting there. The fans are sitting there saying, "What the hell is going on?" And I can't blame them. And even if there are instances where the fans will be irrational and they may seem that they're being overreactive, but I think that this situation, it's warranted to be like, yo, what the hell is going on with this team?
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know where you go, man. I mean, again, I'm just going to point out, like, there's really not a ton to do this offseason.
You know, is like, just...
I'm looking, I want to look towards 2024. One, I still can't do that because there's guys that are clearly not on the team next year that just play every day when we have a few of our top prospects just raking.
Yeah.
But
do you think they call up Austin Wells?
Yeah, maybe they will. Year, I think they will. They'll throw us some bait.
Yep.
But I just, what is that? I don't know. I mean, then what do you go into next year with Austin Wells, Everson Pereira, Anthony Volpe, and Oswald Peraza in your starting lineup? Like, you're not competing for anything with that. You know, I can talk him up as much as the next guy, but you run four essential rookies out there, not counting Volpe. I guess it'll be his second year in the bigs, but it's a bad time.
I have to make this point, though, Tyler. I will say that Volpe has been, if anyone's criticizing Volpe, Volpe deserves, you know, is he hitting 250, 260? No. But for the situations he's in, he's having a very solid rookie year, mm-hmm. and it's something that he could build. Like, he had the home run today against Boston that, of course, the Yankees fall flat after
that.
And
we've seen progression from him from day one to now, which I think is all we wanted.
I think it was it O'Neill on the broadcast today? But he was saying that he's showing a little bit of resilience when he hits the rough patches, and that's something that's good to see, mm-hmm. that he's not squandering from anything, and he's for lack of a better word, he's showing some balls when he's playing,
and he's one of the only happy guys on the team, I feel like.
Seems like it. But did you hear the point, I tweeted it out, did you hear the point where they were showing the, what was the graphic, I gotta look back in our tweets and find what it exactly was.
They were showing
most trailed innings, and Paul O'Neill just goes, "I'm just gonna enjoy the nice people in the stands. I'm just gonna enjoy the beautiful sunshine and the grass." And I'm saying, I really think the Yes Network and you heard Michael Kay at the start of the game goes, "Hopefully, we'll be seeing some good baseball." Yeah. I think the Yes Network is saying, well, it was on Prime today, so Yes Network technically, and they're saying, I think they're at the point of saying,
what else can you do, you know?
Yeah. My dad actually today, it was really funny, he made a good comparison, when the SNY booth, I think it was either 2 years ago, because the Mets made the playoffs last year, but they would pull out the baseball cards and start talking about baseball cards when the Mets were out of contention. Oh, we are right around that for the Yankees. Scary. Just talking about baseball cards and talking about BS that no one cares about because the team is just... I mean, that's what we're at, Tyler.
It's going to be a tough 6 weeks. I mean, like, the season... You don't have any hope of them making the playoffs, right?
No. I mean
you're nine
now they're
games
nine
out.
Nine out.
It's like impossible.
From the wild card. From the wild card.
There's
not
three
the
of,
division.
There's three of them, Rob. There's three of those, you know, now, right?
And all these teams are better than that. Yeah, I have no hope for the wild card.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if you're one of those fans listening. You may want to just look elsewhere. Yeah. But because I don't, and I would really ask you, how do you have hope for this?
Mm-hmm.
Other than 2024, if you have fresh season, that's one thing. But if you have hope for 2023, I really don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't know. And if they surprise me, God knows that's not gonna happen. But I don't know.
They'd have to go like 30-5.
The Red Sox at 66-58. The Yankees are 60-64, and they just got swept by that team. They're not making the playoffs.
Yeah,
I can't say that with a straight face.
That would be one of the more miraculous climbs,
crazy
in history. But yeah, man. What's that quote? Who said it? Where he's like, "It's actually probably bad that I don't know."
It's right in front of us.
No, well, not that, but it's we are who they thought they were.
Oh, well, was it Herm Edwards or something?
Yeah, I think so. But that's what it is, Rob. You know, like we were saying it a while ago. It's It's like, yeah, that's what they are. And I, you know what I was thinking today, too? I was like, all right, so we saw the Yankees. They were really good last year for, you know, got off to a really good start, bad August, good September, didn't play great in the playoffs, got swept, whatever. But you went out, and they understood that they were in contention and they had a good team. But they were like, hey, we got to go get a couple bats. So they got Benintendi and they got Karp. And DJ was playing really well. So those are three bats right there, essentially. You lose two of those bats, or you lost all three of them in the postseason last year. And you saw how much worse the team was offensively without DJ, Matt Carpenter, and Andrew Benintendi.
And so, how DJ sucked.
So how exactly
bad?
But yeah, really, but how do you understand that? Because you made the conscious decision to go out and acquire those two bats because you knew you needed them, mm-hmm. and then you lose them because they're rentals, obviously, and you don't do anything to replace them. So you knew at one point that they needed more. Like, this is the same, essentially the same construction of shitty players that we watched in the ALCS, and they blamed it on injuries. Because Benintendi wasn't there, and Karp wasn't there, and DJ was hurt. They blamed it on injuries. See, but you knew your team was bad. You just ran back the same team without two of those bats.
Well, it kind of goes back to, you know, you say it over and over again. Of they're just saying, hey, we can get through the regular season and do this. And then they're saying, oh, we can get through and get to the trade deadline. But they were far worse off when going into the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't do anything. You didn't do either.
At least
and
they were like six games over 500 for a little while.
And it's just, and you're just and they just didn't. It just felt like they're saying, "All right, we're gonna prove you guys wrong, and these guys are gonna come around." And how else are we supposed to believe that they don't think that when they're saying it's right in front of us?
Yeah,
that's all they're giving us. So how can we not think that's what they feel?
I really think they're just
brainwashed, delusional. Use all of the different words you want to use.
All
to
the
describe
buzzwords.
Crazy.
It's just like the baseball reference page stinks to look at.
Well, even I was just looking at the, you know,
there's
when
two
Yes
players
was showing
with an OPS plus over 100.
When just looking at the Yes Network, you know, showing the Red Sox lineup, I'm going, man, like Verdugo's at, I think he was at like a 770 OPS.
He'd be the second best hitter on our team.
Yeah, that's the second best guy behind Judge.
I was telling my my buddy from college, who's a big Sox fan, who talks a lot of shit to me. About the Yanks, and you know, obviously, and I was like, bro, I'm kind of jealous of the situation you guys are in. Like, you look at their lineup, and they have, you know, from Casas to Devers to Yoshida to Duran to Verdugo, that's five guys that you can literally pencil. Like, Duran's having all those guys I named are having pretty good years, way better than everyone else on the Yankees besides not named Aaron Judge. Even Adam Duvall, like, he had a great year for them. I mean, but just in terms of young guys, Verdugo, Jaron Duran, Yoshida, Devers, and Casas, like, five dudes to build around. Who are the Yankees building around?
Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole.
And Anthony Volpe.
And, yeah, you could throw a Volpe. I just, and, you know, like, Cole had the disappointing start yesterday. But I can't blame him, man.
Shut
He's
him
been
down
showing
for
up.
All I care. But I want him to win the Cy Young, but.
Yeah. I don't know, Tyler. This is tough.
I don't know. I mean, you need a first baseman, too.
The Yankees play this week. They play the Washington Nationals. Then they play the Tampa Bay Rays at Tampa. My parents are actually going for my mom's birthday on Thursday. So I'm hoping Gerrit Cole can give them a good start on that. But yeah. Or actually, he's pitching Tampa, but I'm hoping they can get a win then. But I'm just saying, man. People would criticize fans for wishing that for them to lose, but
I'm wishing they lose so they'll win in the future, in hopes that they can understand what's going on.
Either understand what's going on and there needs to be change from what's being done, which we know who's doing it in Brian Cashman, mm-hmm. or it wakes up the owner to make a change at that thing or at that position of power.
And Cash isn't leaving the org, but push him out of baseball operations. promote him if you have to something. Like, didn't they do that with the Celtics? What's his face?
Brad Stevens. Yeah.
Like, they didn't, you know, they didn't want him out, obviously, but.
I don't know. I wouldn't be.
Maybe that analogy doesn't make much sense.
But. Well, no. I get what you're saying. That was like coaching position down to then front office. But I think Cashman is just. There's a time to move on. And 24, 23, 24 years is. I'm sorry. That just doesn't happen in sports. It's crazy.
The Astros have won two World Series. Two different GMs, too. Two different
regimes. The Red Sox! The Red Sox have had three different for four of them.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's not just Cashman. It's the whole front. Like, Randy Levine's been there forever. Like,
you're the New York Yankees. Why can you not do something different to shake it up? And if you do I believe that if you clean house and you have a clean slate, there will be people lined up for that job. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand if you put out a dedicated search that you put in the work that you can't find people. And I think it's funny when people hire Derek Jeter as general manager, hire Don Mattingly as the manager. No, thank you. But I will say that the Yankees, if they did a dedicated search to revamp the front office, the managerial staff, the coaching staff at all levels, I find it hard to believe that they can't do that. It's just their willingness to do it.
I think it'll take another year of like being really bad for that to happen.
But Tyler, is that something that's worth it for you?
Hell yes, dude.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What, like, if they run this back next year, yeah, as a fan, Rob, I'll be rooting for them. But I don't care if they run it back.
But
similar,
you know the direction that they're headed towards a better place, not just running around the hamster wheel.
What they're doing. The team's bad.
It's exactly what they're doing. But
it sucks, man. This is like the first time we've had to kind of deal with this since we've been doing this
as a podcast. But I think you know it may. Listen, the harsh reality is we may have to do it. Continue to do it, but we'll be here to do it. We'll be here to talk about it. So,
and typically, like we've had this discussion off camera, usually when the Yanks are playing bad, y'all are listening a little more.
Exactly. So we appreciate you guys tuning in. But, sorry it had to be like this, but you guys understand the conversation of what's happening with the Yankees, and there's nothing else that can really be said. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way that we feel, and I'm sure a lot of listeners also feel the same. You may feel a little different, but...
Hopefully we have a lot to talk about in the offseason. Sucks I'm looking towards the offseason. Like, I saw a Big Poppy highlight the other day of in the playoffs, and that was, like, the first time where I got a little sad. I was like, damn, I haven't not watched the Yanks play in October in 5 years.
Yeah. It's coming. It's probably coming. So
and you might not like this either, but I'm getting towards the point where, and I love Stan. Like, we love Stan, but
it
clogs up everything.
Yeah, I hate to say it. He looks cooked. He really does.
I mean, he can hit like 7-9 on a contending team. He shouldn't be hitting higher than 6th.
Yep.
I feel like. I mean, he's been a 200 hitter for 2 years.
Nah, he looks bad. He looks really bad, man. He looks really, really
sometimes
bad.
Did you see Charlie Morin in Atlanta where he threw his breaking ball three straight times to the outside half at Stan?
He did it to
waved at it.
He did it to a few batters too. And I'm just saying.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like when we face Framber Valdez, he can basically tell them curveball and throw it and they'll still miss it.
Oh. I don't know, but we appreciate you guys for joining us. Episode number 157. Really apologize that it has to be like this, but this is just the state of the Yankees, and we're just talking about it, and it's depressing, but we'll still be here for the entire ride because we're here with the good, we're here with the bad, and we won't quit doing that because we're diehard Yankee fans, and we know a lot of you guys are as well. So episode number 157. We'll see what the Yankees do after this week. We'll see. They got the Washington Nationals for the first 3 days starting Tuesday, and then three against Tampa at Tampa at the Trop. I will not be going to that stadium. I will be waiting till they move. I've decided I am not going to that stadium unless, I don't know, I'm that close to it by some other coincidence. But Yankees lose 8 straight. We just got to hope they break the streak against Washington. Thank God there's an off day tomorrow because
I don't want to watch them.
Holy moly, man. Just not good. But thank you guys once again for listening. Episode number 157. I see I'm just flustered. I can't do it, man. It's just terrible.
It's a bad time.
Really appreciate you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time. Peace.